3, 2, 1.
What will the world look like 10 or 20 years from now? The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a peek. And we can't wait to show you what's coming. Subscribe now.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, April 25th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, drag the arrow, spin the animal, click the stoplights. Have you noticed that those tests to prove you're a human online have gotten more complicated? WSJ reporter Katie Dayton tells us why. And then, major artificial intelligence companies, including OpenAI and Meta, have agreed to take new measures to combat imagery of child sexual abuse online. We'll find out how technology could help solve the problem from WSJ tech reporter Deepa Sitharaman. But first, prove you're a human. That's the prompt many of us are given before we sign into a social media platform or an e-commerce site. The thing that's prompting us is called CAPTCHA, an acronym that stands for Completely Automated Public Turing Test to Tell Humans and Computers Apart. And it's there to protect the site from being attacked by bots. But now, the bots are getting more sophisticated, which means that CAPTCHA has to evolve too. WSJ reporter Katie Dayton is here to tell us about it. Katie, what are CAPTCHAs actually for? Why do we have to do them?
Since kind of the turn of the millennium, as the internet grew more popular, so did hacking into it. And we have a lot of bad actors out there that want to use bots to basically pretend to be humans and wreak havoc on a website. So that could either be by pretending to be somebody else and scraping their data. It could be to attack the website with a lot of bots, which would crash it. And these CAPTCHA tests, they're used to make sure that the data, the people, the accounts that they're letting in are humans and not bots.
You mentioned that we've been seeing these around for a while, at least since around the early aughts. What was it like back then, those sort of early CAPTCHAs?
The early CAPTCHAs everyone remembers were usually the text. The letters look a little bit jumbled. You're asked to take a picture and type out the letters that are in there. And those ones then moved on to the pictures that looked like they've come from Google Maps. And a lot of the time they had come from Google Maps. Google had its own version of CAPTCHA that it purchased called ReCAPTCHA. And those are the kinds of click on all the stoplights, click on all the fire hydrants. And you'd normally be shown 4 pictures and you had to make sure you clicked on all of them.
CAPTCHA is different now. What are the kinds of tests that you might encounter on these sorts of sites today?
I've noticed it in the last year or so, for the last couple of years, we've started to see CAPTCHAs come up that are a little bit more of like a logical puzzle. So it's now asking you to kind of use your sense of perception and depth perception to click on the number 7 that's in front of the letter A. And even though that's not too hard of a task to complete, it's just really throwing people off because we have gotten so used to carrying out the same kind of test. They're now very, very different. And different websites are using different types of CAPTCHAs. But at the same time, even with the same type of CAPTCHA, you might be presented with a really different test. And sometimes it's literally a fine motor skill. You know, it's dragging a bar across the window that spins a picture to align with another picture. It's getting shown like some weird AI generated animal and asking you to flip it the right way up.
If these CAPTCHAs were intended to protect against bot attacks, why have they gotten so much harder? Why do we need this now?
The technology's getting harder in a way, or at least requiring a little bit more brain power, pretty much because the bots themselves have gotten smarter. My sources tell me in cybersecurity and design, a bot can like pretty much crack an early CAPTCHA. Being able to read and understand jumbled up writing, that's something they can do now. At the end of the day, most companies realize that one day the AI will get and the bots will get so sophisticated, they'll be able to crack anything, but it's too expensive for these bad actors to keep training them if the captures keep changing. So the idea is to not make a capture that will never be able to be solved by a bot, but to always just stay like that one step ahead of them to make it not in their interest to try and crack them.
That was our reporter, Katie Dayton. Coming up, major AI companies are taking new measures to combat the spread of sexualized images of children online. More after the break.
What then will the future reveal?
There's one thing we know about the future. It's being built now.
We all have a stake in the future.
The future.
The future.
The future.
And the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a glimpse of what's on the way. I'm Danny Lewis. Join us as we dig into how science and technology are shaping the future.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
This week, companies that make artificial intelligence tools, including OpenAI, Meta, and Google, agree to incorporate new safety measures. The goal is to protect children from exploitation and plug holes in their current defenses. The problem is, the tools that create AI-generated images can make innocuous stuff, but they can also create harmful things like sexualized images of children. A new alliance led by a nonprofit called Thorn is leading the charge. WSJ tech reporter Deepa Seetharaman joins me now with more. Deepa, what exactly are these new safety measures?
So they've agreed to a few different principles, or maybe you could consider them values or safety measures that should collectively be able to minimize the risk of child sexual abuse material, or what is called CSAM inside the content moderation world. And so some of those principles that they've agreed to are things like responsibly sourcing training data. And what Thorn is now asking, and what the companies have agreed to, is to ensure that that training data doesn't contain material that depicts or promotes child exploitation.
Why are measures like these necessary?
One thing is that the overall environment around generative AI, and specifically text-to-image services, one of the problems is they're so new that a lot of the CEOs and technical folks behind these companies haven't dealt with the CSAM issue before. So what Thorn is trying to do is to create a template where those companies can look at this list of potential measures they could take and actually just take them.
So the problem is that these AI systems can generate images of child sexual abuse?
They can be, without careful moderation practices that prevent that kind of material from being shared. There are a couple of different areas where you introduce risks for creating that. One is by having images or video of child exploitation inside your training data set, which, by the way, are enormous. It would take humans years to look at every individual piece of data. And so they need to create good screening technology. But, you know, there are other problems, which include the fact that you can have regular photos of children and then sexual images of adults. And in some cases, some of these models will combine them and create material that really hurts children. And you see this increasingly happening within the world of child abuse. And you also see it in places like high schools where teenage boys use nudify apps to create deep fake porn or other explicit images of their female classmates. And so what Thorn is trying to do right now is to interrupt that and to create technological barriers for making those kinds of things possible.
Tell me a bit about Thorn, the organization that's behind this initiative.
This is an organization that has been a part of the Child Safety Advocacy Group for a long time. They have been pushing particularly on child abuse material and trying to get it off the internet. largely in the last few years, the problem with child abuse material has been around real images that are spread through social media or like both public and private communication channels, some of them encrypted, some of them not. And so advocates like Thorne have really taken some of the social platforms and search companies and all these large tech companies to task for not doing enough to minimize the presence of that kind of material on their sites. And we've seen the companies really respond to that pressure.
What are companies already doing to prevent this kind of abusive imagery from ending up on their platforms?
There's a lot of filtering that's done. So once the initial data is just hoovered up by the companies, it is filtered for quality and is also filtered for ensuring that there isn't any child sexual material. There are ways you can tackle prompt engineering. And then there are other methods as well that are being explored right now. Thorne said some of the companies that signed up for this alliance have agreed to separate images from children from images pertaining to adult sexual content.
Are all of the measures that these companies have agreed to technologically possible right now?
No, not all of them are technologically possible right now. There are also some limitations around legality. Thorne and the companies have agreed to doing more stress testing of their systems to ensure that they don't deliver great CSAM. But one thing that is holding some of these companies back is the fact that to do this kind of stress testing, you might have to generate CSAM itself. In generating CSAM, even inadvertently, even in a testing environment, some companies feel that they will get in trouble with the law because it's illegal to generate this material and it's illegal to view it.
That was our tech reporter, Deepa Seetharaman. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.